Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcast, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton from Turnbuckle Trash. Welcome to today's show. We're going to have a good one. We'll have a conversation with Chris Evans about some of the controversies in professional wrestling right now. Like, we don't have controversies in life. We lose a great, great wrestler. And we say goodbye to one called The Undertaker. It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
We always like to salute wrestlers who have passed away, especially some of the great ones. And one of my all-time favorites was Mr. Wrestling Number 2. The simple mask, the black and white mask, the little white and black trunks, but that powerful knee lift he did. And he just had a persona about him when he put that mask on. Johnny Francis Walker passed away in 2020. And as I was researching the podcast, I came across something on Wikipedia that the governor of Georgia and former president of the United States of America, Jimmy Carter, in the 70s said Mr. Wrestling 2 was his favorite wrestler and also his grandmother's favorite wrestler. Carter invited Mr. Wrestling 2 to his inauguration, but the Secret Service insisted Johnny Walker take off his mask, but Mr. Wrestling Number 2 said he just couldn't do it. Those were the days of kayfabe, right? However, on several occasions, Mr. Wrestling 2 did enjoy a private audience with Lillian Carter. He faced scrutiny from the Secret Service every time, but everything went off without incident. One of the greats of all time, Mr. Wrestling Number 2. Coming up when we talk to Chris Evans, we're going to be talking about a very, very serious subject. It's called the Speak Out Movement, the hashtag Speak Out Movement, where there have been a lot of allegations and very serious allegations against wrestlers, both male and female, for sexual misconduct. And we'll talk more about that, but there has been a little bit of news coming out of AEW. Sammy Guevara was accused of having a tape come out where he said he would like to, and I tell you, this is harsh language here, he would like to rape Sasha Banks. Very harsh language. AEW suspended Sammy Guevara and has sent him to sensitivity training. The reason I wanted to bring this up here is because Sammy has tweeted out an apology. He also wants to apologize to Sasha Banks for his unacceptable comments. And Sammy went on to say she's an amazing person who didn't deserve to be the brunt of that offensive remark. Sammy says that he spoke to Sasha Banks, and she helped him learn a gigantic lesson, and he thanks her once again. He says he is sincerely sorry. Now, hopefully he has learned his lesson. That kind of talk is just not acceptable. Honestly, I just absolutely hate it when people talk like that, and I hope Sammy Guevara has learned his lesson. Sensitivity training that AEW is paying for should help. Now, his boss, Cody, has said that Sammy will return to AEW and he will be a better professional wrestler and a better man when he does. I'm sure that's very controversial in social media right now. But after all, I'm just going to make a little comment here. Aren't we all trying to become better people? And if Sammy can become a better person by having this horrible thing that he has done, and he's paying for it right now, if he comes out a better person, then all for it. All for it. Now, it doesn't mean that I support any manner of sexual harassment. Some of the other wrestlers that have been named include Jack Gallagher, Scotty Davis's real name. He was fired from WWE. The Velveteen Dream's name has come up a couple of times. Also, now SmackDown superstar Matt Riddle has come up in his name. And Impact Wrestling has also had their problems because Michael Elgin, who is a big star in ROH, former champion there, former champion in New Japan, and also an Impact star. His name came up in some of the comments about sexual misconduct. He has been indefinitely suspended by Impact Wrestling. Now, some other news coming out of Impact Wrestling includes the star, the champion of Impact Wrestling, the controversial Tessa Blanchard, no longer affiliated with Impact. So that means they have no champion right now. A lot of things going on the internet about this. PW Insider says tensions between the two sides have been very high because Tessa Blanchard reportedly and allegedly failed to send the Impact company promotional material to put onto an Impact episode. Some other news, Stu Bennett, the former Bad News Barrett and also NWA commentator, recently spoke with comicbookmovie.com, discussed his future in professional wrestling, says returning to the ring full-time probably will not happen. Stu Bennett says he is near 40. He's also a very successful actor. Bennett commented on AEW, saying his friend Cody has done an amazing job on AEW and really excited about the explosion of opportunities in the pro wrestling world. Now, Stu Bennett probably will get back in the ring at some time, but don't expect a full-time run. Bennett then spoke about the possibility of a return to the WWE, saying that when he first left, he did have a lot of anger to the company, but he's not as angry as he used to be. And finally, before we move on in Turnbuckle Trash, Renee Young has had an interesting couple of weeks. The WWE broadcaster said she tested positive for coronavirus, and that also affected her husband, John Moxley of All Elite Wrestling. He had to back out of last week's program on All Elite, and it's not sure how he's going to do when it gets to Fyter Fest. His Fyter Fest is coming up in 2 weeks for the AEW show. But Renee Young also got some bad news this week. Her show, FS1 Backstage, has been scaled back. But according to Renee Young, there will be some good news coming out on Wednesday. That's this section of Turnbuckle Trash. Now let's move on to a public service announcement that I found from one Matt Hardy. I make no secret of it. I'm not a huge fan of Matt Hardy, especially the broken version. But I found this very interesting as the broken Matt Hardy talked about wearing masks. Listen to this. This is Matt Hardy on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Yes! I am broken, Matt Hardy! And I am wearing a face mask, yes. A delete face mask, yes. It is fueled by Damascus. And I have noticed recently here in the states that are united, there has been a significant decrease in people wearing their masks in public, yes. In large gatherings of people. Well, I want to remind each and every one of you, if you are in a public place, in a large gathering of people, you should be wearing your mask. Now, we cannot become complacent. We cannot become lazy. We have to delete this coronavirus. Delete this pandemic. And the only way to do that is for each each and every one of us to be individually accountable, to be individually responsible, and do our part to make sure we end this virus. So please, if you are in public, if you are in a large gathering, wear your mask. And that is today's Broken Brilliant.
It's time to take out the trash
on Turnbuckle Trash.
Yeah!
Think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
First up on Turnbuckle Trash, we go to North Carolina. The man who just got himself a new, got himself a truck. I didn't want to say new, but it is a truck, isn't it, Chris? Chris Evans.
It's a truck, all right. When you listen, if you remember the old TV show Sanford and Son, please play that tune for me when you're thinking of me driving this thing. But it's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. The sun is shining, the wind is blowing, and I am thinking my back pocket is going to catch on fire after I build this thing back up. So let's go ahead and talk. So go ahead.
Well, this has been such a wild time in professional wrestling. There's been at least one person in the Performance Center for the WWE that has tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. Then The WWE announced they were going to suspend tapings, but then they went ahead and did some tapings. I don't know what's going on there. I have completely given up trying to figure this stuff out. I mean, I'm done.
I can't figure it out either. Either you're going to tape, you're not going to tape, you've got COVID-19. You have wrestlers that are refusing to come to work. You're suspending wrestlers. You're letting people go. Look, it's their livelihood. It's their health. Do you not blame them? Money is worth not as – your life is worth more than money.
Isn't that the truth? Kevin Owens was the only one I've heard that said, oh, no, I'm not coming. Have you heard of anybody else that's refusing to come to the,
really.
To the shows?
No. Just Kevin Owens is only the smart one. He probably ran back to Canada.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
So, here in the state of Utah, a couple of weeks ago here in Logan, that's where I'm broadcasting from. We were the hot spot in the nation for about a week. That was about a month ago, I think it is. And now we're in the top 10 again, in the state of Utah. We are just being slammed right now with COVID-19. So I will tell people right now, wherever you're listening to us at, I want to wish you the best. And then I also want to ask people to please wear their mask. I think Zane said it best last time. When you're out in the public, if you wear the mask, you're showing respect, not because you agree with the mask, but because that you're showing respect for those who might be ill or might be more susceptible to the disease. So, I'm not telling anybody what to do by any means. It's a personal decision. But when I'm out, I'm wearing that mask myself.
Well, I really don't wear the mask outside when I go to Walmart or something like that. I mean, I refuse to wear it. You have more of a chance of getting slapped by a clown while farting a rainbow and getting this COVID-19. But to some people that have illnesses and the older people that are out and about, I can stand it. But other than that, I just don't wear it. I mean, I don't know. Everybody has their choice in this.
And that's the thing. I'm saying wear it. You're saying no, but
no,
you
not.
Know what?
No, I'm not going. Go ahead.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. That's a personal decision. So, And then we've had one big news story that's come out in the last 24 to 36 hours, and that's about the Undertaker. The Undertaker on the last ride, session number 5, said he's done. He is officially retired as a competitor in the WWE. What do you think?
Well, when I first heard about it, my jaw hit the ground. I couldn't believe it that the Phenom has said it's over. It should have it should have been over after your streak was done. But it's a shock to. I mean, I'm a little shaking. Texas Red, The Undertaker, The Phenom, Big Evil. You're hanging it up finally. And I don't blame you. Look how many surgeries the man has had. Look how many hip surgeries.
Yeah, on the WWE Network right now, the Last Ride, it is fascinating programming, fascinating to watch.
It was so hard to watch some of this stuff because you're seeing what he had to go through to help Vince out with the company.
And he's very loyal
even
to
Vince. The times
that
he was so, yes. Oh, Vince couldn't even talk during the making of it. It tore him all to pieces. So, because they asked him a question, what does Mark Calloway mean to you in the WWE? And he said, sorry, I can't answer that.
Yeah,
he just started breaking down. So that just tells me that he was the most loyal WWE superstar that Vince has probably ever had. And he's one of the biggest draws that Vince has almost ever had.
Oh, man. Is that the truth or what? I mean, Taker is he's a legend not only in the wrestling business, but I think you talk to people that aren't even wrestling fans. If you said The Undertaker, they'd know who you're talking about, you know, because he has he's that kind of presence as far as what has happened in pop culture right now.
Well, it's amazing that I'll admit The Undertaker is on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. He's on mine because this man, if you go through his history and where he's been through WCCW, USWA, WCW, and he's had some of the best matches of the year, and he's had some of the worst matches of the year.
Yeah.
One of the worst matches he ever had was, and we'll all say it, it was at Crown Jewel. With Shawn Michaels and Triple H. They said that was the worst match he's ever had. I concur. I think the worst match he's ever had was with the Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, and I would say that one was worse. I'd say that one was worse.
And I think the last one with Bill Goldberg is the one that ended his career.
Yeah.
After that botched jackknife, jackhammer, or whatever they call it, I think that's what did it to him.
You know what I think is really funny is back in the WCW days when he was Mean Mark Callis, Ole Anderson said to him that he wasn't going to make it. He wasn't going to draw money. Ole, you wrong, Bubba.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody had respect for The Undertaker. I don't blame them because this man he's a legend. And what Triple H said one time, he said, I saw a guy. I saw this man that whenever I came in, he was in the locker room. He knew who the general of the locker room was. It was Tape. And he taped a flight jacket onto his ribs because he already broke one side of his rib cage. And he still went out there and still wrestled. And he had to wear a mask because he crushed half of his face and the orbital bones. And I mean, he was called the Master of Pain for a reason, but Father Time is undefeated, and I guess that's the last we'll ever see of The Undertaker. But you tell me, should have his streak ended at WrestleMania, or should it have been the greatest thing of all time that nothing had ever should have been, you know, taken away from him?
Oh, I don't mind that the streak ended. I don't mind that at all. He had said years ago that he was hoping that if the streak was going to end, it was going to be ended by Brock Lesnar, which it was. But I didn't really like it when he lost to Roman Reigns. But that and then Taker didn't say that was a very good match at all. That one either. He actually competed with a broken ankle in that famous Hell in the Cell match with Mick Foley. Just one of the toughest guys ever. And he's had all kinds of surgeries, all kinds of injuries. It just goes to show you that anyone that wants to get into professional wrestling, you better be prepared that people say, oh, it's fake. Bubba.
Yeah.
These people get hurt. They get hurt bad, but they love performing. It is a performance that a lot of people don't understand. We do, and that's why we enjoy it.
So what is your favorite Undertaker moment of all time?
Oh, boy.
See, there's so many. So many.
You know, I just go back to that his first appearance when Brother Love brings him out. Ted DiBiase brings him out with Brother Love. And then you've got Hot Rod talking about, oh, look at that big heifer there. You know, and then looking at the crowd, because he was so different, dressed up like an Undertaker with the makeup underneath his eyes, looking like baggy eyes. And then you just watch him in the ring. He was so fluid, so smooth. But my favorite incarnation of the Undertaker is the American Badass. I gotta admit, when he'd come out on that motorcycle, I loved that. I thought that was awesome.
I think my best rendition, I think the best thing I've ever with the Undertaker, it'll always stick with me for the rest of my life. When you see him throw Mick Foley off Hell in a Cell, and you can hear Jim Ross in your head saying, "Oh my God,
they killed him." Yeah.
They've killed him.
And so, JR didn't know what was going to happen. He thought that he was dead. So did Jerry Lawler. Because those two announcers, they don't want to know what's going to happen in the ring. They want to be able to call it just like that they were seeing it. And they both thought that Mick, who was hurt badly, but they thought that there was no way he was going to survive it, especially that second time coming through the roof. That was the worst of the two.
That's when Jerry Lawler said, "That's it, he's dead."
Yeah. So.
And I mean, you could hear Jerry's voice, and he wasn't playing the role. He was playing a serious person right there, because it's like, no, I can't believe this man just went. No, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's dead. There's no way. But that was one of my favorite memories. When I very first saw the Undertaker, wow. Yeah, he was a phenom, and he's the GOAT. So one of the greatest of all time, and we will miss. But I've got this feeling that money talks. Like he said in the last ride, he goes, "Will I come back? Will Vince have to break the glass to save the company? Who knows?"
Yeah.
But it was hard for him to say at the end that he had no desire to go back in that ring.
Yeah, you could tell that he was kind of breaking up, and he had to compose himself, and it was I'm going to say this once again. Once you have been a performer and you've been in front of a crowd, if you're any good at it, it is hard to give up that adulation, that pop from the crowd. You heard Taker talk about that several times. That pop, that love you get from an audience, is hard to give up. It's hard to understand and to comprehend what is going on with some of these performers, but it is an adrenaline popping thing. And I go back to my own bit of celebrity. I'm a very small fish in a small pond, but I do have a certain amount of celebrity in Northern Utah, and it still is. It always fascinates me when somebody recognizes me, either when we're just out talking or they see me and they've seen me someplace else and they come up. It's a kick in the shorts, to be honest with you, and I can understand why it's so hard to give that up. I really can.
Well, being a professional like you are, and when it's time for you to finally, hang it up, is it going to be hard for you as well?
To a point, it will, because I enjoy what I do very much. I don't call it work sometimes. I call it playing radio. Because, it is. I basically entertain myself. I find stuff that entertains me, and I'm hoping that it entertains those that are listening. And I've been very lucky that I have some great listeners and great feedback from people. And I consider myself one very lucky man that I found something that I really loved to do when I was very young. And I think some of these performers, like an Undertaker, like a Shawn Michaels, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, and in the future, you're going to find it going to be hard for Kevin Owens to give it up. You're going to find it hard for any of these big stars right now to give it up because of that. And it sounds like I'm being very cliche, it's that drug of adulation and that pop you get from a crowd. There's nothing like it, man. There's nothing like it.
There you go. Well, I mean, your Dave's blog today, I'll have to admit to you, ketchup on steak. We'll have to talk about that, sir. I don't know about that, yeah. but we'll have to see. That'll be another podcast later.
Yeah. Now, some of you that might not know, I work on a radio station in Logan, Utah, do the morning show on Cool 103.9 and our website, cool1039.com. I do a daily blog, and today I was talking about ketchup and how if I'm going to eat a steak, I don't want anything on it, but if I need something, some kind of sauce, it's going to be ketchup. And some people freak out when they hear that. So just like Chris.
Well, it's Heinz 57 for me or nothing at all.
Man. Nasty. So,
or some hot sauce, and you know, you gotta have that Frank's Red Hot. We'll put that on there. But other than that, let's stop talking about that because lunch is coming up soon here.
I tell you what I want to do right now, Chris. I want to take a little break and I want to play this that I put together. This is about the retirement of The Undertaker. And we're going to do that right now on Turnbuckle Trash.
This match is for one fall and 20 minutes. First on my right, weighing in at 315 pounds for the Lone Star State, Texas Red.
My goodness, here he comes. Calls himself Master of Pain.
Master of Pain. Because where I've been the last 5 years, you have to know how to handle pain. And I know it better than anybody.
Led by his manager,
clock on my embalming room wall is ticking down.
Led to the ring by his manager, Brother Love, weighing in at 320 pounds from Death Valley, I give you The Undertaker.
The Undertaker, the mystery partner, is now revealed.
I never heard of him.
Oh, take it.
You will rest in peace.
Thank you, Taker.
We finish up our talk with about the Undertaker, and of course, I know that Zane will have some thoughts about that. Big Undertaker fan that he is, we'll have him coming up in another segment soon. But there's also been something going on in the last few days, and I'm going to flat out say this. This is a very serious, serious subject. It is life, and it's terrible. If these accusations are true, there are some wrestlers that are going to have to pay a big, big price. There's been a lot of allegations out there from something called the Speak Out Movement, #Speak Out Movement, from people that are claiming that current wrestlers, past wrestlers, have forced themselves on ladies and ladies forcing themselves on men in inappropriate matters. Some pretty big names out there. Matt Riddle, the Velveteen Dream, Jack Gallagher was fired. Sammy Guevara of AEW had a very serious allegation where he had audio of him saying that, and I'm going to remember, this is serious stuff here, that he wanted to rape Sasha Banks. If that is true, dang, dude, come on.
Wow.
You better be on your hands and knees apologizing. That is an absolutely horrible choice of words. So AEW's got a serious situation. So do other performers and wrestlers. Mm-hmm. This is something that is real life. And I just wanted to get out there and maybe get some of your comments on that.
Well, if these accusations are true and if this is really happening, you deserve everything that you get. I hope that they – I don't want to see anybody lose their job. But, look, these are real people. These are real lives. These are it doesn't belong anywhere.
It doesn't belong anywhere. That's the thing. It does not belong anywhere.
Whether this is scripted or not scripted, this does not belong anywhere in the professional life of anyone. And that last person that you said that wanted to do that to Sasha Banks, sir, you need professional help. Go call Dr. Phil.
Because if you're willing to do that
to one lady, that means you're willing to do it to anybody. And me being in the correctional field for a long time, I've seen this time and time again. Let's just say this. If you was to do something like that, you've ruined a person's life forever, and they'll never be the same.
No. That's how serious it is.
Even just mentioning, not doing it, but mentioning it can even scar a person, because they'll... For people, you got to remember, back in the day for wrestlers and back in the 80s and everything, when the heels came down from the locker room and trying to get through the crowd, they had to worry about acid being thrown on them, being stabbed, because those were the evil ones. Woohoo! They look good. I'm not going to say I want to do something like that to them. No, I can't stand when things like that happen.
Yeah,
and
you know,
I hope they go ahead.
I was going to say that there's a difference between locker room talk and buddies talk, but that's inappropriate even in that arena. Completely inappropriate, because we're talking an act of violence. It's not sexual gratification. And it made me sick when I read that this morning. And then I'm going to add one more caveat onto this. And I am in the news media. I've been a news director for a couple of different stations. I've actually won some small awards for news coverage. But I've always worried about putting out someone's name when it's such a serious accusation. I think it's in England where they do not do that. But here in the United States of America, it is common practice. But I worry about someone who's falsely accused. And I know that it has happened in the past to not necessarily wrestlers, but people in the public, that there has been false accusations. And still, after being cleared, their lives are ruined. And that's... I'm just saying that I'm wondering if we should give out the names so early in an investigation. When they're convicted, it's all, you know, get rid of them. You know, just call them what they are. They're idiots. But I kind of worry about that. And I'm not saying there's anything that we can do about it. It's just my own personal opinion. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, if the accusations are not true, then their names don't really need to be put out there at all. Don't bring out names. Just say a certain person or a search and such. But when you put out names and now they're scarred for life, their careers are going to be ruined. They're not going to be known by anything else but what has just happened. So let's hope everybody gets cleared. But if there's audio on that one guy, he deserves what AEW gets.
Oh, exactly.
And hopefully it's a swift kick in the wazoo off way. But speaking of AEW as well, somebody from the NWA made their debut.
Ricky Starks.
And now he has a contract. This just tells me right off the bat that the NWA and AEW are working together now. Hallelujah. That's what it is.
Yeah. And then on that same show, a female competitor made her official debut as a member of AEW. She'd been on AEW Dark, I think, maybe twice. And Abaddon. Man. And guess what, Chris?
She was with DCW.
She went to DCW. She's performed there. I saw her. I talked to her briefly. I didn't get to talk to her very long, but congratulations. And I want to congratulate the people and Rocky Mountain Pro who are so proud of Abaddon, and also the people in DCW that are also so proud of Abaddon. It just goes to show you that if you have the right gimmick, and Abaddon's gimmick is freaky, but she pulls it off. You know, she's like a Sister Abigail, you know? That's what I would see Sister Abigail as with Bray Wyatt. So, I think that she will improve that women's division as she improves her in-ring work also. So congratulations to Abaddon. Like I said, I got to talk to her for a very short time. It wasn't anything formal, just I was introduced to her in her persona, not as Abaddon, but, and I got to introduce her to the ring too. So that was kind of fun. But
yeah, but it was.
I just to see her on there in the first match on Tuesday night, or the Dynamite show on AEW, I was so happy for her and happy for the guys, Rocky Mountain Pro and also DCW. So good luck there.
Well, I must say that DCW has taken a big swing at what they've done to their championship belt. It looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. That belt looks really nice now. Whoever designed it, congratulations, guys. Y'all did a heck of a job on it. It looks a lot better than the other one.
Yeah.
Maybe you can give the other championship belt to Andrew Sowell and he can put duct tape on it. So,
you know, he lost that belt.
Oh, he did.
At their last TV taping last Saturday or two Saturday nights ago when they did their first show in months, he lost.
Oh, okay.
And then also Tombstone Jesus lost the core championship to Sim Bodie. Yeah. Oh.
Yes, I saw that.
And Matthew Robles, the MK Bandit. They cheated.
They cheated. And also the Brothers Smith have lost their tag team.
Oh, kills me. That kills me now.
But you know what? The one partner that this guy had, the new tag team, he went back to Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Oh,
that's where I guess he got his start from.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I would love to ask Manny Smith, are you in Ohio Valley Wrestling, you know, doing some things together?
Yeah.
Could it be?
Maybe
it is. I hope so, because that would be great for the organization. Let's bring more organizations together and work together.
I think that would be fantastic.
I know it would be because DCW, they deserve it. I mean, those boys put their heart and soul into this organization. That's what they wanted to bring the fans in and give them a great show. So, and they do it every time.
Yeah.
They do it every time.
Manny Manny Lemons was in the ring as the champion on the Sunday morning TV show. And he said on the CW30, that's a local TV station out of Salt Lake City, they are getting about 10,000 people to watch their little 30-minute wrestling show every Sunday morning. That's fantastic. Manny, congratulations.
Amazing.
Got that zest
that's
for
amazing.
Life going on, Manny. Great guy.
Yes,
guy, so.
That's good. That's great. Automatically, I'm happy for them. They deserve it. They've worked their butts off. People, give them all the support you can. Get on YouTube. Look them up. Look all these wrestlers up. Tombstone Jesus, one of the favorites of all time. But that one guy he went up against, he reminded me of Rob Zombie.
Yeah, and you know, he used to be a WWE superstar too.
Okay,
he had a short run in him. Yeah, he had a short run there.
Okay, do you know what was his name?
Zimbody.
Okay, he kept the same name
in
WWE?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he does some work with the Future Stars of Wrestling out of Las Vegas and more. So then I wanted to see if you saw the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse on SmackDown.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Finally.
Uh-huh.
I loved it. I loved the way they turned that 360. And now he's back to Bray Wyatt. And I loved it. I really did. That was perfect. It was perfect.
I thought that when they showed him as Bray Wyatt and talking about the family and how bringing people back from the dead. And I'm hoping that they get a Sister Abigail so bad. Because that's what they really needed to put that character over the top. But I am looking forward to when Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman meet in the ring one more time. That one's got me excited. And, you know, I don't get excited a whole lot about some of the stuff that's going on in the WWE. So there you go.
Who could play Sister Abigail, though?
You know, at this point, you got to go to... You got to go to the independents or maybe somebody at the performance center that nobody has really seen a whole lot. And then, you know, put them in makeup, put them in an outfit. I think it could work. I really do.
Hey, let's turn Asuka into Sister Abigail. That should be interesting. No. She's got the makeup for it.
Oh, no. I love Asuka. I really do. I love to watch her work. So that's one of my favorites in the WWE. And let's see, one other thing I was going to tell you about AEW. There's always somebody on Facebook that has to say that AEW is beating NXT. Who cares?
Myself.
Yeah,
yes,
who cares? It's just what you're going to enjoy. And my own wife made the comment the other night while she was watching AEW with me. They had the dentist, and they had her being carted off by Big Soul, put in the garbage. She says, they look like they're having fun, and they keep the fun in wrestling. And I thought, man, you know, that is a great comment. Because
Yes, it is.
I think sometimes the WWE takes themselves too seriously, and they forgot to have fun. And when they try to have fun, they don't pull it off. I mean, some of these theatrical matches have been brutally bad. And then you've got somebody like The Miz who's having fun in the ring. He can pull off that fun. The New Day can pull off the fun. And, you know, but who else? There's very, very few. Street Profits can pull off the fun, but they try to get like the Viking Raiders in this fun zone. It doesn't work.
Some of those Viking Raiders and Street Profits, the segments were, it was strange and it's weird. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you're having a bowling contest. What the hell? Come on.
Yeah, there's been some elements of fun in that, but really, they need to meet in the ring and do things. I mean, Viking Raiders need to be one of those teams that just gets in there and kicks, you know what, and then the Street Profits can be the ones having fun. Kind of the New Day version on Monday Night Raw. So, but Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse, I wore my shirt again the other day. I'm ready for Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting that he's gone back to the old gimmick. But you know what? I love that. I think it was really good. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. It's about time to push back the Fiend a little bit and bring back old Bray Wyatt. Let him let him have something. Maybe he can take Braun's mind over with something. Who knows? Get a storyline somehow.
We keep the Fiend and Bray Wyatt together, and kind of like, you know, how Finn Balor did when he would come out as the Demon. He would wrestle as Bray Wyatt. He'd wrestle as the Demon. I think that's where they're going with Bray Wyatt on this one.
Well, don't you miss the Demon with Finn Balor? Just a little bit.
Oh, just
a little
bit.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are saying they want to see the Demon King, but, I mean, I think Balor's been... That's another one that's been buried a lot since y'all were going to talk about that.
Yeah,
that's one that needs to be. He needs to have a championship around. So, but other than that, we've gone over. We're paying our respects to the dead man. It's been a heck of a ride, and it's all come to an end. But I had a feeling once the last ride, the documentary was coming out. I said, "That's it. He's done. They're doing that. It's over."
And how would you like to be AJ Styles, knowing that the retirement match was that very entertaining match, which was a theatrical match with The Undertaker? I thought it was a fun match to do.
I think that will be the top of AJ's career, knowing he was Taker's last opponent at WrestleMania. It's a high honor, because he even said in the documentary, he said, "The one person I'd love to work with is that one right there, AJ."
I think he's one of the
best. I want to work with AJ. Yeah, he is one of the best. He's one of the top in the profession right now, him and Randy Orton. And with Edge getting hurt was it Backlash? Or what
yeah,
was it?
Backlash, yeah.
So
now we have Christian.
Who knows? Well, that segment with him, Ric Flair, and Randy Orton. Rick, I'm sorry, but you just can't, you know, get down on your knee like you used to anymore. So, and it's hard. I'm sorry, guys, but it's so hard to look at Ric Flair right now.
Yeah.
His father time has not been good to you, and I hate to say it. I hope not. But let's hope he stays around for another 15, 20 years.
Yeah, very definitely.
And
quick reminder that we are now available on several different formats for podcasts. Now, I'll have a complete list of all the different formats that we are available on podcasting now, Spotify and all these different ones. So we're expecting to have more and more people making comments about our Turnbuckle Trash, and I think it just shows the growth of what we're all doing, and you've been a big part of it, Chris.
Well, I tell you what, if everybody that's listening to the podcast, guys, we enjoy doing this for you, and we're not experts, we're fans, and that's what we all need to be, just fans. No one's an expert on a podcast. I don't care who you are. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't either. But if the WWE and all these other wrestling organizations would just listen to the fans.
You know, that's pretty deep. If they would just listen to the fans a little bit, especially in the WWE, instead of... I'm just going to say it, that if Vince McMahon doesn't like it, it doesn't go on. And we had that very, very evident with the motion of Paul Heyman. You don't have the push now for Ricochet. You don't have the push anymore for a lot of performers out there. And I think it's a real, real shame just because for some reason, he doesn't like them. Instead of letting them prove whether they can handle or not, he says, I don't like it. It's done. And I think that's a real, real shame because tastes change, and his taste doesn't necessarily mean what's the best taste of the wrestling fan today. That's all I got to say.
Well, there was a thing on our Facebook page. You put it on there that Vince is now starting to demand that the wrestlers go to Saudi Arabia or to these other countries. I'll breach my contract if I have to. I don't care. My life is worth more than your dollar bills are.
Yeah, there was an anonymous WWE performer who said Vince was pretty much forcing the wrestlers to go over. And if that is true, shame on Vince. Shame. But that is his character. You know, I've been reading these two Jim Ross books, and I have been absolutely shocked in both books at how Jim Ross has had to deal with the day-to-day changes in Vince's mind and how he's changed his mind at the last minute for this performer, this announcer has been literally cruel to Jim Ross with his Bell's Palsy and some of the other things, and has put Jim, JR, in harm's way. He has actually made fun of his health in the most crass way, which he probably thought was funny, but evidently JR did not. And that is the biggest thing. Sometimes, if you think it's funny, it is not. So cruel humor, which is very prevalent today, to me, is not humor. And that's why I don't like a lot of the current, quote, comedy movies, comedy performers, because they go for grotesque humor. They go for the gross out. And I'm going to put Will Ferrell in there, Ben Stiller, that they're not going for humor. They're going to gross out and to just be cruel. And I don't like that end of comedy, right?
Well, I saw not a podcast, but it was a thing with Jim Cornette and Paul Bearer. Paul would always say that I think Paul Bearer, he weighed like almost 450 pounds. And Vince McMahon would always tease him about his weight because, heck, there used to be a weigh-in thing for the competitors. Well, Vince McMahon did that to Paul Bearer, but Paul was like, wait a minute, I'm a manager. What does it matter what I weigh? And JR would say, well, heck, me and Percy will weigh together, and then we'll break both those scales. And JR and Paul Bearer went over to Jerry and goes, I don't find this a damn thing funny.
Oh, wow.
That's not funny. But then Vince turned around and said, we need you to come back to WrestleMania 30 or whatever it was in New York and we'll pay for your gastric bypass surgery and send you a new contract. And that's what Vince did for him. But it saved his life.
And you know, he does that kind of thing. You know, there's been several performers who have struggled with addiction. He's helped mm-hmm. them out yep. with that, paid for it.
Yep.
So
yep.
as much as we complain about Vince, and I've just complained a lot about Vince, he does have a lot of redeeming qualities about him. And he's on my Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling as he changed the face of wrestling. And that's why I put him on that. But I don't like some of the things he's done. So,
well, with him and Bruno Sammartino, they had a real bad falling out.
Yes,
I
they
think.
Did.
And then Triple H brings him back for the Hall of Fame. And Vince said, there's no way. There's no way he's going to accept it. And Bruno said yes. And when they showed the video, Bruno didn't stick his hand out first, but Vince says, look, welcome home.
Yeah.
And then Bruno was shocked. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I think that's just his personality. And, you know, I'm not going to like everything he does, but you know what? I bet you Vince and Kennedy McMahon wouldn't like everything I did. So we'll give him that kind of a break.
There you go. There you go. All right. That was good.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
It was good. Not a problem. Thank you, guys. Hope y'all enjoyed the podcast. Zane, hope all three of us can get together one of these days. I know you're busy. Hope you're feeling better. Hope your father's doing very well. And we'll see you again down the road.
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Then the WWE announced they were going to suspend tapings, but then they went ahead and did some tapings.
My jaw hit the ground. It was at Crown Jewel.
Brutal. People say, oh, it's fake. Uh-uh, Bubba. And some people freak out when they hear that. So.
Hey, let's turn Asuka into Sister Abigail. That should be interesting.
Some of these theatrical matches have been brutally bad. They cheated.
Look at the size of that hammer!
You will rest in peace.